My name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together.
Are you glad I didn't change it up this week?
I was listening to that today and I was dying.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back. It's Martha and Colby Grow Up.
The question of the week is, what is your favorite Best Picture nomination? Let's see if I can name them all off the top of my head. We have Parasite, we have 1917, we have Jojo Rabbit, we have Marriage Story, we have Little Women, we have Ford versus Ferrari, The Joker, and...
Nominees, Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman.
Oh.
That's the one you forgot.
Yeah, because no one... Well, people did watch it, but...
I will not.
Not either. I have no time. I usually do try to watch all of the nominees. I will not be watching The Joker. I will not be watching The Irishman, just because, yo, do we really need more white people in cinema? White men, especially. White old men. I don't know. No, I don't think we do.
I haven't seen The Irishman, and I haven't seen Little Women. I probably won't. There's an outside chance I might see Little Women, but I am not spending 3.5 hours of my life to watch The Irishman. It might be fine, and that's sure, but like, if it's on Netflix, why watch that when I can be on YouTube, you know?
My favorite movie is actually Little Women, so bite your tongue, sir. It was a good movie. I feel like it was honestly, we were talking about this today, but it was tailor-made for me. Like, Timothy Chalamet, Saoirse Ronan, like, period piece. Everyone's so fucking cute. I loved it. Like, I want to go see it again. Ugh, so good.
Yeah, mine's Parasite. For sure it's Parasite. Like, for me, it's Parasite is my favorite. And then, like, a step under that is Marriage Story and Jojo Rabbit. And then a very large gap until the other Best Picture nominees that I've seen, except Joker, which is at the very bottom.
I have not seen Parasite yet. So Parasite and 1917 are on my list. And I think I gotta get going on that. I think the Oscars are pretty soon. I don't remember what day, but...
February 8th, I believe.
Okay, yeah. I got time. I gotta go see it this weekend, though. But anyways... You can find us on Instagram at Real Martha Riley. Well, you can find me there, but you can find us also on Twitter at Martha and Colby.
And you can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains.
Last week, we talked about how Colby never made varsity.
It's
did
true.
You like that? Did you like that, like, meta?
Even though I didn't tell you, like, the origin of the name, which is that it's just a fact. No, the four of us. I mean, I didn't try out for any varsity sports, but... Yeah. I could have made the basketball team. I feel like everyone says that, but like, our basketball team was actually trash. And I probably could have made that team. The coach asked why I didn't try out.
What are we talking about this week, Colby?
This week, we're talking about hobbies. Reflecting on hobbies. Really stretching that reflections.
Running out of ideas. It's been a long time.
That reflections theme. But yeah, I want to talk about hobbies. Because I was listening to a podcast I think I talked about last week. Dear Hank and John. And they were talking about how people should have hobbies. And I agree. So I want to chat about it.
What... in particular, do you want to chat about? I'm letting you take the reins here because I don't have any hobbies.
So, Webster's Dictionary defines hobby as pursuit outside one's regular occupation engaged in, especially for relaxation. So,
this
Martha,
is shaping up to be our best episode.
Oh, it's going to be the absolute best. Do you have any hobbies?
No, I heard you just fucking said I don't have any hobbies.
Have you ever had any hobbies?
Yeah. So, I mean, podcasting is a hobby. We don't make money off of this, as I say at least 3 times an episode. But yeah, podcasting is a hobby. I used to be into writing. Sometimes I still write. Sometimes I still blog. In college, I had a blog. It was kind of like a travel blog. Yeah. I used to write, fiction, participated in NaNoWriMo this month, NaNoWriMo, I guess. I didn't get very far, but that's okay. I still wrote some things, and I'd like to learn how to, well, we'll get into that, but I think, like, is watching a movie a hobby? I guess I go on dates. Is dating a hobby? I don't know. Yes.
That's fun, dating as a hobby. That's a fun idea. I like that. I mean, it's a pursuit outside of your regular occupation. So.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very broad definition.
I don't think it has to be more specific, though.
Fair.
So why? Okay, let's start here. What drew you to writing? Because you do a lot of writing.
That's a really good question. I think I was drawn to writing because I read a lot. And I read a lot of blogs, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to start something similar. And I think that's just sort of how it came about. I don't know if there's like a great answer to that, but I definitely did like writing in elementary school. I like wrote a lot of short stories, and I liked writing essays in class. And then it got to high school when you had to like actually write for a grade, and I didn't like that. I just liked writing for fun. But people have told me I have a really good like writing voice. I used to keep a dating blog. I still kind of keep that blog, but I don't update it as much as I need to because there's only so many things you can say about going on dates. You're like, oh, we did this and it was okay. Oh, we went to the restaurant that I've been for the last four fucking dates. It's fine. I may not see them. Like, there's only so much you can say, but I think at some point I'd like to either turn that into like a podcast or just like a, I don't know, publish it for the world to see because it is funny.
Do you write these things for the purpose of being, of like them being read by other people, or are you writing them for you?
I definitely started writing the dating blog because it was just for me because I wanted to keep track of like all these dates I was going on. I think the travel blog that I did, it was to keep my parents informed of like where I was when I was abroad. And then it just sort of evolved into like other things I was traveling. I also started it as sort of a college advice blog because I definitely got very burnt out of college pretty early on. And I wanted to like write, to journal that and write down tips that I had. So that was definitely for other people. At one point I started a newsletter. I didn't really get any followers. Also, I never promoted it. How would you know that I have a newsletter if I never told you? So that was part of it. I mean, and this podcast, I guess, is not a form of writing, but it is something that has my voice on it. So this is definitely for the public as well, but it is, yeah, it's a private little thing I do.
Interesting, because I've never really thought about blog writing as being inward facing, you know? I always pictured it as a sort of thing where you do it and then you publish it for other people to see.
Yeah, it can be, it doesn't have to be. I think it just depends on if that's something that you want, like if you're comfortable with that. I think a lot of people aren't comfortable with the idea of having their life out on the internet. Especially there's a lot of stuff around bloggers and Instagram about not being authentic and not telling your story and just like trying to sell people things. We could get into that more if you want, if you have any like further discussion on that, but it just depends. I think it's weird having your life on the internet. So there is a good boundary that you need to have with yourself. And also just like, I don't know, be respectful of yourself and be respectful of other people in your life, especially if they don't want you to share about them.
I think I do want to talk about monetizing hobbies, which I think is a very young people to bring it back to shit you need to know is a very young people, millennials type thing, like making your hobby your side hustle.
Colby, tell me about your hobbies.
So I am a very amateur musician, as those of you who have seen my Instagram can see. So over the last year, I wanted to teach myself how to sing better. I am not a good singer. I was a worse singer, but I do think I'm better now. I've probably fallen off a little bit since I moved into this apartment. I just haven't been playing my piano or guitar or ukulele as much as I was when I was back living at my parents' house, but it's something I like to do and something I put on the internet because I wanted to have a bit of accountability to make myself do it.
I miss your piano playing. You used to play for us when we Skyped.
Sometimes. Not as much recently, I don't think.
Do you want to have more time for that? Are you sort of... Like, I guess maybe the better question is, do you find it hard to make time for hobbies?
Well, the thing is, I could either be like in here with the keyboard playing, or I could be playing video games. It's a lot easier. It's like 6 feet closer to sit down and play video games.
Oh, my God.
Than to walk into this room and turn the keyboard on or grab my guitar. I don't know. It's always been an intentional thing for me. Like, I sometimes just find myself playing video games or find myself doing or watching TV or a movie or whatever. And whenever I'd come do the music things, it's a lot more intentional, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
I wonder if intentionality is like could be another way to like define a hobby. Well, where it's not like a thing where... It's not like you just like plop down and you do it. It's more of a thing where I'm going to sit down. And I'm going to actively do this thing. You could be actively watching TV or actively watching a movie or actively doing whatever. But I feel like that's different than like coming home and just relaxing and throwing on an episode of Parks and Rec that you've seen before, you know?
I think, yeah. I to follow up that point, I think there is a form of, and I think it gets pretty overused, but I think hobbies can be a form of self-care as long as you still find enjoyment in them. Mm-hmm. Especially because, like, I don't know, say you knit or something. I have a couple of friends that knit, and just sitting down and knitting in front of your TV is really relaxing for some people. Or I used to do calligraphy. I don't do that anymore that much, but it was fun to like actually work on something and work on a piece of, you know, art or lettering or whatever I decided to do. So, but I wouldn't have done those things unless I was intentional about it and I made time for it, because calligraphy was hard. Like, it's a hard skill to learn. And if I didn't make time for that, then I wouldn't have gotten any good at it, or I wouldn't have stuck with it. So, yeah, I mean, there's intentionality and also just doing it, which I don't necessarily know if it has to be intentional. Like, I don't think everything in your life is maybe intentional. This is getting kind of deep. Ooh, I'm a little tired. All right, we'll see if I can make it through this. I don't think everything in your life needs to be intentional. I don't think everything in your life is well thought out. Like, okay, I get up for, you know, the day, I eat breakfast. Like, those are pretty automatic things. I think sometimes hobbies can be automatic, and sometimes you do have to make time, especially if it's like you, like playing piano. If you're not in an ideal location, or if you, you know, are super busy that weekend, it's easy to sort of let that fall by the wayside, especially say working out is a hobby, I guess, and also like a life thing that you're supposed to do. I don't know who does it, but
never felt that emotion, never. Only know millions have.
I don't know her. Exercising? I don't know her. So I think like you have to be intentional about that, because that is very easy to not want to do because it's not super fun. So I'm going to throw that back to you. Like, do you think it's easier to be intentional about things when they're more fun, or maybe there's like a week you don't want to knit? Are you still going to do it, or are you just going to not do it? Cause I guess it's a hobby. It's not a job. You see what I'm saying?
No, I do. It's kind of like for those who do have video games as a hobby, like that's, not every aspect of video games is fun. There are those people who really love the grind of video games and really love doing all the collecting and all the things that are infuriating to people like me. And I think there are different things you want hobbies to bring you. I think for the ones that want it to be a little bit of a challenge and maybe work-like, if that's a way to say it, it's more about the feeling of accomplishing something than relaxing, you know? Because when I was doing, if I'm going to keep talking about video games, I'll just expand this metaphor. When I was playing Spider-Man PS4, like, I grinded to 100% on that game. It's the only game I've ever 100% or 100%ed.
So, sorry, I don't know what that means.
Oh, I did everything in the game.
Oh, okay.
So there are some games that are a bit of an open world and you can explore and do a bunch of stuff. And there are a lot of different side quests and missions you can do. And whenever you've done everything you can do in the game, is called 100%ing.
Interesting.
And Spider-Man PS4 is the only game I've ever 100%ed. And it was 100% about knowing that I 100%ed that game. So I was happy when I did it, but it was a grind those like last couple days.
But shouldn't we just do hobbies for fun, or do we need to do them for a sense of accomplishment? I guess it can be both. There's no reason it can't be both, but I guess so. I'm thinking of when I was on the swim team. I would not call that a hobby. It was definitely like an activity. And I would not ever competitively swim again in my life. Like, that's not something I want to do. But I would swim for fun again. So I don't know how like achievement and enjoyment fit together sometimes. Because you can still enjoy something if you're not good at it. I wasn't very good at calligraphy, but I did it. So
I'm not very good at music, and I still do it. So
I don't know. I think I maybe just made a mountain out of a molehill. I don't know if that's something we need to follow.
We can follow it. I think it's difficult to throw the line of like what's a hobby and what's on either side of a hobby, on the fun side or on the like task side. So let's go back to our definitions. Intentionality, different from your occupation. Mm-hmm. There's something about the competition side. There's something like external about the competition side that is not like intrinsic to you, that makes something like swimming for a swim team different from swimming by yourself.
Sure.
Or even like playing any like team sport for like something meaningful, rather than playing like a pickup game of whatever with your friends.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Am I just making things up?
Maybe, but that doesn't mean it doesn't make sense.
Fair.
Yeah, I think my answer is just going to be, it depends on what the hobby is and how you feel about it, because sometimes things can be, yeah. So I think maybe what you're trying to go with is like things can start off as more intense than a hobby, and then gradually it can sort of decrease into hobby level enjoyment sort of thing. I took this Instagram marketing class once, and this woman framed it as like, turn your hobby into a jobby. Oh no, that was my calligraphy class. It was turn your hobby. Hobby into a jobby. So it was, I think some people are very talented and want to maybe, this may be where we can start talking about monetizing too, mm-hmm. is that people are good at things and then maybe it becomes work and then maybe it doesn't become fun anymore. So I guess the lesson of this episode is do things for fun and don't burn yourself out on them.
I mean, there's like the whole thing of like, if you're doing something you love, you'll never work a day in your life, which is just a blatant lie. But I think the burnout part of it is so true. Like, I am glad I do not do music for a living. I do not know. I don't think I would be able to do music for a living. Like, different, like being a performer, music teacher, like that sort of like music education thing, maybe. But I mm-hmm. could not go be out on the road and actually doing that, because it sounds exhausting.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's not easy.
Like, even doing something like, do you think you could blog write professionally, like in a way where it had to be structured and you had to meet certain deadlines and you had to do all these things in order to like live?
Not necessarily, because I think I would run out of ideas. I think that's the thing with hobby and jobs, is that jobs, there are
jobbies.
Like, I was going to say that, but then I didn't want to hate myself. So there are jobs that you have consistent deadlines to meet, like you said, and you have always project work and you're always working towards a goal. But then with hobbies, it's very much like, okay, I'm doing this for fun. Like, maybe some people will get something out of it. I know when I started podcasting, people were like, don't start out to make a podcast to make money. Start a podcast out because you have something to say. I was like, okay, but I always want to make money. So
Snake.
I'm working on it. Like, I think I'm definitely gotten to the place where I am satisfied with the hobby aspect of things, and I'm definitely doing it for fun, and I've definitely found a way to make it enjoyable, but I am, at the same time, I wouldn't mind kicking it up a level. But I don't know. I've never monetized a hobby before. I'm not that good or interesting. So
would you see social media as a hobby?
Yeah.
Being a professional, like, if I were to turn social media into a jobby, that sounds terrible. I that sounds like a nightmare. Honestly, as much as like I'm a Twitter person, I'm not an Instagram person. I'm very much a Twitter person. I do not think I could deal with being like a Twitter influencer, or else I would need to make sure I am curating my timeline in such a way that to make it bearable. Because like right now, like I have I don't have like an extravagant amount of followers, but most of the people who interact with me on Twitter are like people I know, which is very different from like if I were to turn, if for whatever reason I got popular and people started following me, I don't think that I would have that sort of enjoyment out of it anymore. I don't know.
No, that's a good point. So I actually stopped posting on Instagram for a while because I became very disillusioned with the whole thing. And I was like, people are just posting on here edited photos. Like, that's what does well. These super edited photos of like people's asses. A lot of the people who are Instagram influencers are hot. They have a good body and they post pictures of their butt. And I was just like, that sucks. Like, that's not a world that I want to be a part of. I still obviously like use Instagram to promote the podcast and share stories, and I think stories are way more authentic than Instagram feed posts, but I think I think social media is a hobby, but it's also like something you just sort of have to do to stay connected to people.
I don't think either of us are shoe bomb and think that social media is the bubonic plague of our generation. But I do think that there is a line that can be crossed that would make social media something that's very hard on you.
Yeah. You know? Well, explain hard on you in what way?
In a way where you are always being bombarded with opinions from everyone, also opinions about you from everyone, and having to navigate all of that and keep like a healthy headspace. At least for me, sounds like a task that I do not want to take on in the near future, as I try to become like a popular sports person on Twitter.
Well, we do shout out your handle every week, so it's
at Colby Complaints.
Not for nothing. God, it's hard. Like, there's no good way to do social media. There's no wrong answer. It's just sort of like a lawless country, unless you're Mark Zuckerberg and try to regulate sex workers. But
or if you're Jack and have a platform for Nazis.
Yep. So it's not good.
It's not to say never, like, we aren't saying never be on social media, because obviously we are both at least very to fairly active on various social media. But like, I don't know. If you're trying to make that like a job, like think about what that means.
For sure. And we're not really telling you how to live your life either. So if you enjoy social media and you want to make it a job, go for it. But I also think it can just be a hobby. I don't know. Let's go into more of the monetization aspect of things, because podcasts aren't usually amateur. Like, usually people are amateur podcasters, and then
the vast majority of podcasts do not make money.
Yes, that is 100% true. I don't know what the stats are, but I should look that up sometime. But it's like you're in the top 50, like 15. No, I don't. You're in the top like 50% of podcasts if your episodes get more than 100 downloads an episode. And then you're in like that top 5% if they get more than 5,000 downloads an episode. So it's like a big gap. And like a lot of podcasts don't hit that 5,000 number. That's definitely a goal for me though. Someday. I think it's a very interesting thing when you're trying to make something that's good, but you also want to get paid for it because it's an expensive hobby. So I don't know. What thoughts do you have on monetization of hobbies? I'm going to formulate some words some more. I'm like very tired for some reason.
Podcasting specifically, we touched on this a little bit last week, but the market is such that you have to be gigantic to make any money. And I feel like a lot of the hobbies that people our age have, if they were to make it, if they were to try to monetize it, it would look like an Etsy shop or a YouTube channel or something of that nature. And it is very difficult to get to the place where it would be worth it to keep it going long term, at least keep it going for more than like a little money here and there, you know, like I'm talking about making it like a full-time job that you could live off of. That doesn't happen for a lot of people. So that does, I'm not saying like never go for it. Like that's not what I'm trying to say. What I do want to say, like, be aware of the challenges before you do that, and don't hang your entire self-worth in being able to make it as a designer on Instagram or a podcaster or a YouTuber.
So I think along with that, it's also very easy to get very invested in making your hobby into a job. I hate that. I hate
no,
that
we're using keeping that. It.
But
it's mere exposure effect. I kind of love it now.
So you can get very invested and like invest in business coaches and life coaches. And I'm talking from experience. Like I did all of this stuff because I really wanted to make this podcast big, and it's changed so many times since I got original advice that I couldn't use the same advice that I already paid for. So I'm too much into anyway to keep getting coaches. But I think it's also like, okay, I have a business acumen. I can research things on the internet. Like I can do this. It's okay. So yeah, I think it's very much, I don't know. There's, you can get sucked into it really easily, especially like, I don't know. I don't want to say these are hobbies, but MLMs are definitely a time commitment. You have to sell a lot. And I think people can get really invested in that because they want this promise of a better life. And so maybe that's why you started a hobby. Like, okay, I can learn how to calligraph. Oh my God.
Yep. Nope. Keep going.
I can learn how to do
that. I love
that.
When I watch people calligraph. Those are my favorite videos on
what
YouTube.
What the fuck is the right word? I can't think of the right word. Whatever. When people do that and they maybe start it because they think they can make money off of it, when really it should just be for fun, or at least it should start off for fun. And I know that's like hard because again, you want to make money, but I don't know. A lot of business people are like, we've always had the best success when we just do this for fun. And it turns out for money, we don't start out to make a profit. So I don't know. Maybe that's some life advice. Is there anything that you haven't done yet in terms of hobbies that you want to do?
So I have a problem that I've curbed in recent years of buying instruments. Because I'll like learn like the very basics on an instrument, and then I'll get bored of it and buy a new instrument. I still don't know how to play harmonica. It's a very difficult. I guess it's
better than drugs. I don't know.
I guess it's better than drugs. That's where you want to be. That's what you want to hear people say about you. But I do want to live. I do want to learn more instruments. I don't know what's next, though. I want so right now in this room, I have a keyboard, a guitar, and a ukulele, a soprano ukulele. I kind of want a baritone ukulele. That would be cool. I'm afraid to get brass instruments because it would be, I would feel bad practicing a flugelhorn in this room just because there are neighbors downstairs.
Well, I used to play baritone and I felt bad even practicing in my house because it was so loud.
It's not a quiet instrument. So I don't know. Maybe violin. I know Carla was talking about she wanted to learn cello. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Cello. It's a bass.
Nope.
Okay. All right.
But, maybe electric guitar. Yeah, electric guitar would be interesting. Right now, all I have is acoustic, but I want to get good at acoustic because I've heard if you're really good at acoustic guitar, electric guitar comes super easy. So,
well, they're the same instrument,
but the action's lower. It's harder to press down the strings on an acoustic guitar than an electric guitar. Mm. So if you get really good at acoustic, then electric should be easier.
Interesting.
What would you like to learn as I am looking up how much electric guitar is?
Oh, my God. One thing I want to learn is I want to learn how to knit. My good friend got me knitting needles, and I attempted to learn it, and someone showed me how to knit. So it wasn't like I was looking it up on myself. I was watching him knit, and it didn't work. Like, that was, I don't retain any information from our knitting session. I kind of remember how to cast on. I do
cast
not
on. Yeah. Cast off. Sorry. Continue, please.
Thank you. Thanks for interrupting.
it was worth it.
So I would like to learn how to knit. I would like to learn how to cross stitch. Like, I want to get more crafty. I guess a hobby that I would like to learn at some point is cooking. Colby has a project to get me to cook.
Yeah, because you don't cook.
I don't that often. I made oatmeal today.
No, you don't cook.
That's not true.
I want to get you actually cooking, not making two ingredient meals, as you say.
But those are the best kind.
Oh, wait, I have a question about knitting.
Sure.
Or knitting adjacent. What about crochet?
That could be a possibility. I think I got to learn one before the other. Otherwise, I think I would just get confused. So, I don't know.
My fifth grade teacher, Mr. Buckley, he taught us how to... He, literally took a day out of class and, brought his grandma in. And we spent the entire day of fifth grade. So I went to a extended year school. So we had 10 days after a normal school year to just do whatever. And most of the time, they spend those 10 days prepping you for the next grade. But in fifth grade, they're like, well, you're going to middle school now. Aww. So it's just kind of deuces. So we spent those 10 days, or we spent 2 days that week learning how to crochet with my fifth grade teacher's grandma.
Cute.
It was really fun. I kind of remember a little of it. And they gave us all little plastic crocheting needles so that we could practice at home. But I love that. Could not tell you where that is right now. So learn how to crochet for me.
Oh, sure. I'll go right on that. Yeah, I think just cooking, crafting, and I don't know. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I want to learn.
No more.
I want to do everything else in
done
life.
Done learning.
Oh, you know what I used to do for hobby? I used to make YouTube videos.
Oh no.
Yeah.
It just brought back memories of my YouTube channel.
So, you ever see the movie Eighth Grade?
Yes, and it hurt.
Yeah, no, it hurt bad. It hurt bad. My YouTube channel was not like that. I was not like vlogging.
Mine was.
Oh God, do you still have it up? I really want to watch it.
God, no, I didn't. For a while I had them privated, and then one day, like 2 years ago, I just went in and deleted them all.
That's probably smart. Mine are still on. You can watch them. So there's like a little box head video that we like wore boxes on our head and walked around town one day. It was super fun. I learned how to use iMovie, and I don't know, it came in handy. I actually had a job in college where I had to edit instructional videos, so that came in handy. It was fun. I kind of like making videos, and I like editing things. I used to edit my own podcast, but it just took too long, and I just didn't have time for that. It would take me like... it doesn't matter. It would take me like 2.5 to 3 hours to edit an hour-long episode, and I was like, well, I can pay someone to do this faster. So that's what I do.
Yeah, I kind of do miss editing and miss the process of making videos. It's just at this point, I have no clue what those videos would be. None whatsoever. I'm not going back to those stupid, stupid vlogs I was making high school.
We like should film something. We should make our own little video.
It would be interesting.
A scripted web series.
I thought about doing that at my old job when they said, hey, we're going to give you the Twitter account for the thing that you're doing. Have fun with it. And I did start scripting things for me and my coworker to do. We never ended up doing them, but I had an idea.
Nice.
I don't know. It was a little, what did they say? Derivative. It was very derivative. So I'm glad it's not in the public space.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Martha and Colby Grow Up. Next month is game show month, and I've been vetoed to play Mad Libs. So you'll not be hearing
that. I swear you're the only person that's ever enjoyed, like, finished a Mad Lib and said, that was a satisfying experience.
Okay, but you know what else is my favorite board game? Monopoly. So what does that say about me? Find us online at www.marthaandcolby.com and on Twitter and Instagram at Martha and Colby.
Thank you to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
Thanks to Jordan of Dreamful Podcast for the artwork.
Big shouts to Irene, even though you don't listen to the podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. Turns out for money, we don't start out to make a profit. So I don't know. Maybe that's some life advice.
Dictionary.com says calligraph.
Really?
Yeah, it does. I'm looking at it right now.
Is it calligraph though, or like?
It says calligraph or calligraph.
Click on the pronunciation. Pronunciation. Fuck. I'm losing it.
Calligraph.
No shit. I was right. Fuck yeah.
What a funky word. I love that.
Learn something new today.